Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Yesenia,
Teal,
Elora.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is Challenge Day, an event held at Laytonville High and several other Mendocino County high schools this week. Challenge Day is a nonprofit organization that helps young people learn to connect through a day-long event that is similar to an encounter group. The Challenge Day program is approximately 6.5 hours long, takes place during a school day. Challenge Day leaders begin the morning by helping teens step out of their comfort zones through music and games. When teenagers begin to feel safe in the group, they are willing to be vulnerable with one another and connect as human beings. They are free from stereotypes and labels that have been placed upon them, such as preps, hicks, hippies, and rednecks. Leaders also spend a portion of the morning talking about the healthy expression of emotions and the negative effects of keeping the feelings inside. Various members of local communities serve as facilitators for the day. During the afternoon, participants dive into the issue of social oppression and examine the impact oppression has on their lives and the lives of people around them. By the end of the afternoon, participants have an opportunity to take a stand against oppression, make amends for hurts they have caused each other, and state their commitment to creating change on the campus and in the community. Challenge Day is designed to wake people up. Day after day, young people in our schools face negative judgments, teasing, violence, loneliness, and separation. The program starts with a Challenge Day formula for change. Notice. Wake up to how people are treating one another. Choose. Choose the school and life of your dreams. Act. Take action to make your dreams a reality. In the first section of today's Youth Speaks Out, we will describe more details about how the event proceeded and the effect we noticed in ourselves and in the student body in the days following Challenge Day. Challenge Day is not intended to be a one-day-fix-all program. It raises awareness and plants the seed for evolutionary change on campus. The schools are required to create a Be the Change team and Be the Change team plan in order to sustain the cultural and paradigm shifts through the Challenge Day. Many students experience the breaking down of personal barriers and the ability to communicate openly with fellow students they have avoided for years. When students realize that their personal sense of oppression is shared by numerous other students, some of their alienation can lift. Tools like recognizing the man box and the woman flower stay with the participants and will be useful forever. Many students found the interaction with the facilitators was inspiring, and vice versa. Near the end of the day, several students apologized to others for bullying and being mean, and said they would break their old habits. The 100 students attending were divided into groups of 4 or 5, joined by one facilitator. In these intimate groups, students were encouraged to talk about their personal life, both positive and negative. Everyone there had agreed to confidentiality, though the facilitators are required to report if anyone is being abused or is in danger to themselves or others. A lot of emotion was released in the room. Not everyone can keep up in this situation, but many reveal stories that they normally keep secret. Getting it off their chest was a serious relief to many. So we will begin the program by giving more details about how Challenge Day works, the exercises, the games, the small groups, and crossing the lines. We'll describe and discuss the day and its effect on us and our school, and we'll open the phone lines for your questions and input. We are at the Willits Studio, so our phone number will be 456-9991. We'll tell you when to call in about 20 minutes. Let's start by describing what it was like coming into Harwood Hall through a passageway of cheering adult facilitators. Yessie, how did that make you feel?
It was a bit too strange to have all the people applaud for me without knowing the reason of why they were applauding in the first place. And I wasn't sure if I was being awarded for just being there.
Well, it was a giant mystery for me. I had no idea why they were doing that. But it definitely set off a positive vibe, and it gave a good start to the day.
This was the first time I'd ever done really anything like this, and it was very interesting to see people I actually knew being very happy to see me and having everyone just having such a great attitude to all the people coming in.
One thing that was different, a couple of us went to Challenge Day last year. Last year, all the adults were sitting around in this big circle and they stood up and were cheering when we came in. But this year they were standing, it was like in a line and you were walking through the middle of the line and people were patting you on the back and giving you hugs and cheering. And so it was a different setting, and I don't know if they change it up each year or if they just decided to change it this time, but I felt that this year it was more effective because you were actually passing through the adults instead of looking around and seeing everybody cheering for you.
I know, and one of the things that actually made me feel comfortable is that even though I wasn't, like, nobody was being awarded for anything, I felt good because they were cheering for not only me, but for everybody else. And it made me feel kind of, like, appreciated in a way as I was entering and high-fiving everybody else. That was awesome.
Jenny, how did you feel the facilitators were, the leaders of it all? How did you feel they acted? Were they too positive? Were they?
Well, each year there's the facilitators who run Challenge Day, they're so different. This year, we had a man and a woman come in and help, and the vibe they sent out was just really warm. Like, they were just so hyper and so full of life. We walked in, and there was a whole bunch of music, loud music playing. It just really fit, like, what teenagers are used to. You could definitely tell that they were doing it to get your attention. It wasn't like walking into a quiet concert hall where people were sitting down and kind of greeting you with handshakes, and people were getting up and giving us hugs, and it was just a really warm way to start the day. It was odd for some of us, I'll admit.
Yeah, they definitely created a good haven for us. It was, eventually the day would get more emotional, but they set it off with a very good start. We'll talk about the booty dancing that they set up. What they did is they would select, you would get a random partner, and you would put your backs to one another, and you would lock arms, and then they would start to play music, and then you would dance however you would. And some people felt it was good, some were awkward. How did you guys feel?
It was a bit painful, especially for me being short and getting really tall partners, and my arms were really sore by the end of the day. But I thought it was a really fun thing to do, and it really did take me out of my box because I never really actually booty danced with anybody. So I don't know. I enjoyed it beyond that, but yeah.
It was good to get the people more comfortable.
Yeah.
That you're not afraid to touch somebody or dance with them.
I liked it because I dance with a whole bunch of people I usually don't hang out with, and I got to know them a little better.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about the formula for change, like notice, choose, act?
Well, I think that this just applies to everyday life. It doesn't have to just be at school or in your community. It's really important. It's almost like the formula for life. You need to notice what's going around, and you need to really just notice what's happening. If there's something that you don't like that's going on, you don't wait for somebody else to fix it. You need to go out there and fix it yourself. It's just a really important thing to do in your life, not just at Challenge Day and not just at school.
And also, on the choose part, you really do need to be careful with what you do. So I think if you think things through before you say or act, maybe your choice won't be as negative for others, and maybe that way your view to many things can be a little bit more understanding.
And to add a little bit onto what Jenny said about acting, is the most reliable person to act is yourself. So do it yourself. Don't rely on anybody else to act.
Mm-hmm. What I liked about the facilitators was that they were not only were they expecting for us to open up, but they opened up themselves. They let us know how they felt when they dealt with a very difficult situation, and they let us know that we're not alone. There's like a lot of people out there that go through the same thing, maybe not the same experience, but for some reason, everybody always has something, and if not, then I guess they're lucky, because nobody wants to deal through a hard situation ever.
I also really like the icebreakers that they had, like Teal said, the booty dancing, or like, Elora, this was your first time. Did you feel that the icebreakers were effective in getting you closer?
I did, because hearing other people's stories, and it just made it easier for me to open up. I didn't feel like I was being pressured to say anything I didn't want to, and I wasn't alone saying so.
Yeah. We played this game called I Like My Neighbor, and it we play it a lot. Like, a couple of us are in peer counseling. Teal and I are in peer counseling, and we do a lot of, like, I Like My Neighbor Who, and this was an icebreaker that I really like. What happens is that one person stands up, and they say, I like my neighbor who, and then maybe they say, who has, like, red shoes, and everybody with red shoes runs around looking for a chair, and there's one less chair than there are people in the room, so there's somebody that doesn't get a chair, and then they stand up and say, I like my neighbor who, and it goes on, and it was a really fun game, and I felt that the icebreakers that they gave us were really effective, and they're really fun to play, too.
Yeah.
The facilitators brought up some very good topics. I'll describe the man box, and somebody else can do the woman flower and iceberg. But the man box is that you're brought up in life, a lot of men are brought up in life, pushed into this box saying, you can't cry, you have to be tough, stop being a girl, etc. And they basically said at Challenge Day that you don't have to be in the man box, that sometimes men who cry are tougher, and that, yeah, man box isn't always right.
Also, on the iceberg, they built this iceberg and they cut it like half, and it was 10% above the water and it was 90% below the water. And the 10% represents the image, and the 90% represents who we really are. And when you really look at it, it's such a short amount of what we really are willing enough to show just to fit in. And what we're actually hiding for who we are, fear that we might be judged or criticized. What do you guys think about that?
I think it kind of creates, that's what kind of creates cliques, is if that's what you show, if you show your fake self, then you'll be put in a clique that maybe you don't want to be in.
Yeah, if we show that 90%, we'd all be a lot different than that other 10%.
I think that, I mean, the 90% that we don't show, it's like a defense for us, too. We feel that if we show people who we truly are, they could use that against us. We'd be vulnerable to the world because, truthfully, like, the world isn't a perfect place where you can tell people, you know, oh, well, this is my greatest fear or something, because people are going to use that against you. In a perfect world, we could show people who we truly are, but, I mean, in this day and era, if we show, I mean, just a little bit, sometimes we could be hurt.
And I mean, like, if you're a really happy person and you show that you're happy and you enjoy life and you enjoy what's going on around you and you don't let all that negative energy affect you, many people are going to say, oh, that guy's on drugs. They're actually going to judge you and say he's doing something wrong. But if you don't show that you're always happy and you demonstrate that you're sad and you're mad, then people are going to say, okay, then that person's bad. So is it good to be happy, or is it good to be bad?
And then I could go into the judgment part, that in Challenge Day, they helped us basically don't judge. They helped us realize that judging is viewing a person as who they really aren't, and that your first judgment is usually pretty wrong, and that the 90% is a lot more valuable than the 10% that you see.
And in the woman flower, it's where women take anything they learn about other people and they try and use it against them to make themselves feel bigger. And whenever you see a woman and she's just hanging out with her guy friends, you'll get labeled as, oh, she's doing something wrong, she's not being a lady. Or if you wear certain stuff that's more revealing, you'll be labeled as a slut, or just, you get put into different labels by what you do and what you wear, and if you don't act the way people think you should act, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, and earlier, before we started the show, Jennifer pointed out something that's actually really true. She mentioned that when a guy has a relationship with various girls, they think that, oh, he's awesome, he's cool. But when a girl does the same thing, they put her in this situation and they call her they kind of say that she's a slut or a hooker. Just words that aren't very nice or respectable for any of us. And why is it that men and women are categorized differently?
I mean, even in Challenge Day, there was discrimination. Why is it called the woman flower and the man box? Like, why can't it be the woman box and the man flower? So it's just, even subconsciously, we do those kind of things that, it can be hurtful.
And it is, because girls, like, even in old times, like, when they couldn't wear dresses that showed their ankles and shirts that showed their wrists, they're always stating that women have to be young, respectable ladies. They can't wear things that show too much or reveal too much, and they can't use a language that is very, unappealing, I guess. There's always this difference in both judging and criticizing, and just, I don't know, it's really confusing when you try to understand it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, even in the 60s and 70s, women were considered weak or airheads or, submissive to men, and, men are the tough ones, they're the providers, they can take it and or get their way, and lots of the times, women, the only way they could get respect or the only way they could climb up the social ladder, like at work, like secretaries, was to be like airheads or dumb and unintelligent. I think lots of the time men fear women who are powerful or intelligent. They feel that they're a threat or something. And so women are forced to do these kind of things where it really like lowers them and just changes who they really are.
And also, have you noticed that when a girl wants to do or a female wants to do a job that, say, heavy machinery, like, men are always saying, oh, you can't do that. You're not strong enough. You're not tough enough. It's not that they're tough enough. It's just that they want to give it a try. They want to prove to themselves that they can be just like any man, like, or men that design clothing for females. Sometimes they use the word gay. It's not that they're gay. It's just that they're doing what they want to do. It's taking a step out of what Teal said, the man box. And it's what women do, taking a step out of their woman flower. And so, what do you think, Teal?
I don't know. The man box and the woman flower are just stereotypes, and it would be better if everybody could just get out of that and be more equal. Don't have to worry about the sex of that person, and just to treat them the same.
So, I know for lots of us, Challenge Day is a really big help, but are there any negative parts of Challenge Day that you wish you could change?
There was a part when they put us into smaller groups of 4 to 5 people, and you had an adult in each group, and there's about 16 groups. But what they told you to do is to say, if you really knew me, you would know that, and then you would go on. And a negative part to that was that some people didn't want to express who they were, and they kind of felt obligated to do it. They pressed it on, like, yeah, you have to do this. So it was a bit negative with that.
Yeah, I also noticed that they would say, if you don't want to participate, then don't be here at all. And, I mean, if they don't want to participate right away, they can at least give them the chance for them to get comfortable and open up at their own pace.
They're very hasty.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why it's called Challenge Day, because, and I mean, if they're going to be doing the program in the first place, they should at least follow up with what it is.
Yeah. And
I think that one thing is that they're trying to condense, like, this gigantic... I mean, this thing can't be solved in one day, but they're really trying to... They're almost, like, fast-forwarding through entire year or 2 years of what you're building up to in just 6.5 hours, and it's hard. And one thing, a couple hours into the program, they're like, okay, get into your groups, and 2 minutes are... you have 2 minutes to say something, like, if you really knew me. And they were trying, almost like you were racking your brain to think of something that bad that happened to you so you could share it with your group. It was like a, almost like a competition to see who had the saddest life, who had the saddest story or something. And it turned, I mean, for lots of us, we didn't really have something bad to share. And we felt that, oh, well, maybe should we make something up so that we can fit in? Or it felt like they were pushing us to really say something that some of us didn't have anything to say.
And then I also noticed that, because it's happened to me, most of the people that stood up and wanted to apologize or say thank you, they weren't given any time to even say what they wanted to say. Like, I have friends at school, true, but I don't really talk to them. Like, I don't hang out with them, and I don't bring them over to the house or anything. But when I got up there to say, I wanted to say thank you for them. And then when I was about to apologize, the felicitators just took the mic from me. And then he started saying, oh, see, this is the problem that we're talking about with the cliques. Well, he didn't let me finish, so why was he saying that I was starting my own clique? And that kind of angered me, but I didn't say anything. I was just, okay.
The next part of Challenge Day was they made two lines, and it started off with the entire group on one line, and then one of the facilitators stood up above us and read something like, have you ever lost a friend in a car accident? And then they also asked, like, how have you been oppressed? And then they gave many examples, like, have you lost a family member to cigarettes? Is there violence at your home? Do you know somebody that's almost committed suicide? Do you know a homosexual? Have you ever been a child? And if you ever, if you were one of these things, if you do have a family member that does smoke cigarettes or has died from cigarettes, then you would cross the line, and then you would look at the people who didn't cross the line. And it was sort of like you were put on the spot, but it was all, that's the negative part, is that you were put on the spot, so I might be nervous, but also, you got to see who was with you. So you weren't alone, and it made you more comfortable.
It was shocking to see, like, how many people crossed the line at things where you felt like, oh, no kid should have ever been, you know, exposed to that. Or, like, there was one where it was, like, cross the line if you've ever witnessed somebody being killed. And there's people who crossed the line, and it was just heartbreaking for the people on the other side to think, you know, this kid, this teenager, or this adult might have been my age when that happened, or younger, or like my cousin's age, or 5 years old. And it was just something where you felt like no kid should ever, or no human being should ever have to witness that kind of thing.
Also, they also asked if anyone had ever been put down or said that you won't make it in life by any adult. I noticed that there was not one teacher or one student that did not cross that line. And it amazed me because because I crossed that line, I looked over and there were mostly adults on the other side. And I remember that afterwards I talked to one of the people that didn't cross, and she even admitted that she was surprised that there was not one student that had not been put down. And I think that that's a major thing, especially in schools, when they say, okay, go to the adults. But is it really a smart thing to go to the adults and ask them for help, and then they get put down? I don't know if a student or anybody knows who to go to. And then that's the question, who to go to? Your friends, your parents, or just any other adult. Because they fear that they're going to be criticized and put down.
I know one thing that I really appreciated when we were doing the line crossing thing is they had this hand symbol that meant I love you. And when you crossed the line, you got to look back, and everyone on the other side was holding up the I love you sign. and it made you just feel really happy and special that they appreciated you.
I really liked the line part. It seemed like most people are able to feel their emotions that in that progress or moment. But what for me, I didn't really like it because a lot of times it said, did you know someone who died in a car accident? Did you know someone who's died from this or this? And it just made me remember the people who had died. So it was a bit emotional. It was sort of like I had gotten over those deaths and I didn't really want to remember them.
Yeah. They're like memories that you just want to forget, get over. And yeah, I understand. So what did you guys think about small groups? Like when they're asking if you really knew me?
I thought it was hard. Like I said before, it was 4 to 5 people. And Jenny said, you get 2 minutes to say if you really knew me, et cetera, et cetera. I thought I was a little bit too fast to just go right into it. If you really knew me, I say did drugs or something like that. It's like you need confidentiality. You need trust in your group before you do that. For some people, that is. So it's just like you need a little bit more time to get that trust.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a group with someone who I didn't trust fully, but we both opened up to each other and felt like we were able to trust each other through everything that we told in our groups.
So was it comfortable for all of you? Like,
Well, to go back to what Jenny said before, she said it was like a competition almost, that who has the worst story, who has the worst life, and to be honest, it was a bit hypocritical of Challenge Day to do that because, you know, Challenge Day is be happy, everything's okay, everybody's equal, and then you go back into that, and it's so this mentality of who's got the worst story.
Do you think, like, the follow-up, did it last? Did the people do as they had promised?
I think that one of the hardest, like what you said, one of the hardest parts of Challenge Day is, everything's great on Challenge Day. You're making a whole bunch of promises like, you know, tomorrow I'm going to give 12 people hugs. This school's going to be changed. And, but last year, Challenge Day lasted, 2 weeks. And then it seemed like people were going back to being bullies, picking on other people. And it's just, you know, during Challenge Day, if you say, oh, this isn't going to work, people are going to really, you know, get on you and be like, hey, you can't say that, it's going to work. But truthfully, I mean, it doesn't really last longer. And one of the things that this Laytonville High School is trying to do is they're trying to find a way to make Challenge Day last longer. And so the follow-up is something that's really important that we need to definitely dive into and see.
Do you think we should do Challenge Day at schools? Like, not actually spend a 6.5-hour day, but to actually make Challenge Day, like, every other day at high school. Like, everybody go to the gym, and let's have a heart-to-heart day, and, you know, mm-hmm. just not only about school and homework and stuff, because then that takes us back to all the stress and feeling down. So what do you guys think?
I think that would be good because one of the things I really got out of Challenge Day is that basically you make everybody around you feel happy and it makes you happier. So give everybody a hug and then you get a hug back. When everybody's happier, you have a better day. So if you have that every other day at school, you know, your day is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, and then you're going to have more energy the next day to do more work.
Yeah, or more.
Like, you're not going to be all freaked out. Oh my gosh, this dude. You're going to have the energy to get your work done, to pay attention, because you're going to feel more comfortable in your area.
And, like, for people who have been bullied, coming to school won't be as scary, or you won't be afraid to come and see people. It's more of a safe environment for you.
Yeah. So
how could Challenge Day be applied to the adult population? And do you think they need it?
I think the adults in our community really would appreciate if our high school had Challenge Day for them as well. It would help our community become more united and a full people.
Yeah, and I also think that if that did happen in the community, then maybe both adults and teenagers and kids could understand each other a bit more
Yeah, and Challenge Day, you know, is for the teens, and teens have all this judgment problems and stereotypes and labels. But you think about it, the parents have the same problems too. And maybe the kids have that because their parents taught them that. So Challenge Day would definitely benefit the parents just as much.
One thing, Challenge Day is open to anybody who wants to participate. We had around 20 adult facilitators from the community, and if you're interested, I'm sure that you can participate in Challenge Day. When it's put on by the school, I think that the majority has to be students, but it would be awesome if the community had a Challenge Day just for adults or whoever wants to participate. One thing is that I think they have a limit to how many people can actually be in Challenge Day. I think that limit is
100.
Around 100, yeah. And even in big schools, what they do is they select kids who they think would benefit from Challenge Day. So it's not something where, like, 1,000 people can come in, because then it becomes really too overwhelming. And you want to make sure that you have small groups. Like, this year we had 6 people in our group, I think, and it was kind of overwhelming, especially when you're trying to tell people what's really going on in your life. So that's one thing. I think that's why people don't really do Challenge Day for an entire community at one time.
Has anyone here done anything like this before? Any type of Challenge Day experience?
Yeah, I did last year.
Well, no, besides Challenge Day.
Then no.
I don't know.
Jenny and I, like she said, we do peer counseling, and fortunately we do get something like this, bonding experience and opening up. So if you do peer counseling, you will get that, but unfortunately we haven't besides that.
Yeah.
Is there anything you guys would like to change about Challenge Day, like if you had the opportunity to change it?
I guess make it a class. So that you don't have to compress it into one day.
Yeah. So we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, anyone involved in Challenge Day, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about Challenge Day. Were you aware that Challenge Days were occurring in our schools? Were you involved? Would you like to be involved in the future? Does this sound like a good way to break down barriers at a high school? If you are beyond high school, what do you remember that made you sometimes dread going to school? Were you oppressed in school? Were you alienated? Were you bullied? Were there too many students that you saw for years but never once spoke to? Were you trapped in the labels and stereotypes of the time? Was anything tried at your school to start fresh and make things new? What did you think about community members working as facilitators and offering their support for students in the future? Have you ever been in an encounter group? If so, what did you gain from the experience? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I appreciate all that you guys do and everything. And I think that must be, Challenge Day must be very emotional. And I was thinking that some people like to tell their stories and other people don't. And I think basically it's all right, however you feel, if you just want to be a listener, then you should applaud yourself for listening. But my main question was, when you hear a story from your friend that is so overwhelming, do they give you information on how you yourself should deal with these emotions and how you feel about whatever your friend said?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they leave us pretty stranded on that.
So could you give some advice as to what you think? Because I'm sure that you hear, or like Teal, you said, you know, you think about different funerals you've gone to of your friends and stuff like that, car accidents and whatnot. What would you suggest for them to give you, like, a safety net to, like, deal with those feelings that are brought up?
Well, I guess that where they cross the line part, they show you that you're not alone. So maybe that's sort of their hint that you can go talk to your friends about it, someone that has experienced the same thing, and you can share your feelings.
Uh-huh.
With somebody that you trust.
So basically being able to be open and sharing your feelings?
Yeah, communication.
And do you think that anything should be set up further? Like, I know President Obama is talking about community service. Do you think, I guess you talked about a class in school, like something to further help kids? Maybe, I guess you have a little bit of it, but maybe to include it more, make it more possible for kids?
Yeah, they've got, we every year after Challenge Day, and there's a thing called Be the Change Group,
uh-huh.
And anybody's welcome to join. They have this big sign-up sheet, and I'm not a part of Be the Change. I signed up this year, so hopefully I'll get to be a part of it this year. But I think what it is you go and think of ideas how to make the effect or prolong the effect of Challenge Day. Are any of you guys involved in that?
Yeah, what you do is every week you make a different challenge to either help somebody out or compliment somebody. But basically to continue Challenge Day, to keep creating challenges for yourself to accomplish, to help other people or yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it would be very good to create a Challenge Day like system in the city or in a town, because if people were more able to accept their emotions and to accept who they are, there'd probably be a lot less crime and a lot less confusion.
And for you to accept the fact that whether you want to share a feeling or keep the feeling to yourself, that both of those are all right.
Yeah, and that listening is just as powerful, that you can take in just as much as if you gave out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I admire you guys that you did that.
Oh.
And so thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was an adult facilitator in Willits. We just had it, and it was a wonderful experience, and I just wanted to say that I'm really proud of all the young people that were willing to just be there and show up, whether they shared their feelings or not. And I just wanted to say that the people we had that ran it, they gave the message that it was totally okay if they didn't share, and that we were just there to love them and support them.
I'm just curious. Was your challenge day on January 20th as well? It was on a Tuesday?
No, I think it was Wednesday.
Wednesday? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if challenge day was on a specific day for... No, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it was wonderful. I think if we all keep working hard and staying involved, that a lot of good things can happen. But it does take a lot of conscious effort.
Caller, could you tell us what you gained from your challenge day?
For me, it was a great experience to open up and share myself, and it was a great learning experience for me, and just in coming home with my family and opening up more. So I took a lot out of it, and I just felt really proud to be a part of, you know, the young people's lives and being able to show them that we're all there for them. We're all there for them too.
Do you think it was effective?
Personally, yes. I did have some question as to whether, you know, how long the effect would last. But I think getting the seed planted is the most important thing. And once you're opened up to the idea of that there is a different way in life, that's really the key.
Definitely.
Opening the eyes is the first step.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for doing the show. It's really wonderful.
Thank you, caller.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So... One thing that Challenge Day members are asked to do is to ask somebody before you can give them a hug, which for some of us that sounds ridiculous. I know personally, like, I grew up in a family where, like, every morning when we woke up, we'd give our parents a hug and a kiss, or a sister or grandparents, and just before we go to school, we give each other a hug and kiss. It's just we're really, like, we just love to give each other hugs, I guess, but for a family where, or for kids where... it was just odd when the facilitator said, you know, ask somebody before you give them a hug. They might not be comfortable with it. It was just kind of odd because you think, you know, I mean, what happened in their past to make them be afraid of a hug or afraid of somebody patting them on the back.
I just wanted to comment on what the last caller said about getting the seed planted. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool part about Challenge Day is, yeah, it's only one day, but it's definitely a good start. And that it can either go on or it can't, but you definitely have to get, you have to act. You have to get the seed planted.
Yeah. And then back on what Jenny said about the hug thing. I noticed, because I kept on forgetting to ask people about hugs, I just kept on going on randomly and giving people hugs. But I also noticed that some of them kept on pushing people away and telling them that they didn't want to be touched or anything. Did you guys?
Well, before that, once again, the number is 456-9991. And we really appreciate any callers.
So what did you guys, like about Challenge Day? Like, anything specifically?
For me personally, I thought the best part of it was breaking barriers. That, I guess to go back to the iceberg thing, that the 10% is who you show and 90% is who you really are. And to break the barrier that we have things in common, we're not just a jock and, a rocker or whatever we are. We have, everybody has something similar to them, so breaking the barriers was very positive for me.
I liked learning everything that made everyone special and what they felt and how their emotions were, and it helped me, it opened my eyes to what people go through every day.
I liked it because of the self-awareness, like it made me understand to think things through and to try to hold my tongue and not make fun of people. I mean, it might be joking for me, but you never know if the other person is saying, oh, I know, you were just kidding. But you wonder, are they really hurt? Did they take it seriously?
Mm. One thing that was definitely positive, I just want to add this on, is in our small community, I mean, people might think, well, you know, Laytonville, it's such a terrible town, you know, people grow marijuana all the time. But truthfully, like, all our adult facilitators were just excellent, excellent people. I think one thing, you know, I haven't been to a different school, I have never attended a different school, but one thing that makes Laytonville really special is that our teachers and our adult facilitators in the communities are just wonderful, wonderful people. I mean, teachers aren't just teachers, they're just like your adult friends, and it, I mean, at the end, they're the people who led Challenge Day, they were like, you know, all these teachers are definitely here for you. And it's true. You can go up to your teachers anytime and just talk to them. It's just, thank you, teachers, if anybody's listening. And all the adult facilitators that were there, you guys were really, just made it really nice.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to the teacher thing. They're always there for us, especially when there's ever a death in school. They are always very positive and, yeah, good influence on us.
So here's some questions for callers. Please call in. Our phone number is 456-9991. Were you ever oppressed in school or alienated? Were you bullied? Were there many students that you saw for years but never once spoke to? Were you trapped in the labels and stereotypes of the time? And, you know, stereotypes and labels change over the years. I'm sure that when you guys were kids, stereotypes are different than when the four of us, I mean, that what we go through every day at school. So we'd like to ask you those questions. Please call in.
To continue on, I would like to know if you guys realized anything about yourself from Challenge Day.
Mm. All right, we can... caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a teacher who participated in the Willits Challenge Day, and I wanted to say how much I'm appreciating your show.
Thank you.
It's great to hear from the students' perspective and also just another location. It's great to hear about it. And, you know, for me, it was my second time participating in Challenge Day, and I was very, very excited because since I work with mostly freshmen, and I did both days, which was a really big deal because that meant 2 days out of my classroom. But I felt like I was going to get a complete picture rather than half a picture, which is what I got last year. And so I think what it does for me is that it gives me more compassion for my students, which is really important, and I really encourage other teachers out there to do challenge days for that reason. But it also helps me to open up and be more present with all of my students. So I wanted to say that.
Quick question. Did you realize anything about yourself from Challenge Day?
Oh, a lot. I feel like Challenge Day was as much for me as it was for the students that were there. I don't think you could participate and not have some kind of growth happen. I think one of the biggest things is, of course, crossing the line. And the first time I did it, which was last year, it was shocking. And actually, by the end, I was very upset about how many students crossed that line over and over again, that it just made me mad because to think about how hard their lives were.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice any change from the 2 years that you did it? Like, were they both as effective, like, in the same rate, or was one different from the other?
Well, I think the students that come make it different. So the group that participated last year is really a different group than that participated this year. I mean, the basic story is the same, but the personality is really different. And I'm sure you notice this, that every class that comes in has its own kind of personality.
Yeah.
So anyways, and also being prepared for it myself, I feel like I was more anxious to get as much out of it as I could. So I also had a different attitude.
Yeah.
So I think it went deeper this year, but that may be my own experience speaking.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So thank you so much. Yes. You're all just fabulous. And I listen to your show just about every time it's on. So
thank
I
you.
Want to know, I'm a supporter.
Oh, thank you, caller, so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Let me walk away from the radio. What I notice about the curriculum for this challenge day is what's missing more than what you did. The real challenges facing our young people graduating from school today is there's no funding to go to college. We have a broken economy. We have a seriously flawed electoral system. Our country is, our rivers and our streams and our water is polluted. Our industrial agriculture is causing sickness. Mm-hmm. We have major problems. Those are we're facing really big challenges. And an ongoing war, an aggressive war, illegal war, in which students go to Iraq or young people in the military and bully these people. So, is it surprising that we have so much bad behavior in our culture? And I would like to hear all of you on your panel comment on this.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, caller.
So, about her and the economy and other problems, I was just thinking, but in order to change all the problems around us, wouldn't we have to change ourselves first in order to understand other things?
Yeah, definitely you have to change yourself before you can change anybody else, but to add on to her bullying part and all the crime and going to war and all that, if we had more of this mentality of Challenge Day that you don't need barriers, you don't need judgment, and if you can be yourself, there would be a lot less of this corruption and distort in the economy and all that.
Yeah, definitely what's going on in the world molds our minds, especially at such a vulnerable age. I mean, at middle school too, if the world's becoming corrupt, kids are gonna, be influenced by that. It's just, media definitely plays a large role. The world, your parents, to anybody. I mean, adults are even molded by the media. It's just not kids or minors.
We were watching a film in AP English, and it was called I'm Not Alone. And about it, the man who directed the film said that he was getting mad because in the news they always said that, like, the economy, war, and everything, but they never say about the people, how it's affecting the people. And I'm just I'm curious about the economy, how whenever things are going downhill, it affects the parents, and then the parents sometimes have a tendency of letting their anger out on their kids, and then the kids get really, really sad and then depressed, and then they think that they're alone and they have nowhere to go. So do you guys think that maybe that plays a big part on the whole being the change thing?
Well, definitely your child is one of the most molding parts of your life, and if you have all these problems going on, if your parents are getting angered and they're releasing it on you, you're kind of screwed.
Also, one thing, this brings up a good point, Teal. They were talking about how you've got a balloon inside you. I mean, your balloon representing your emotions, and that every time something bad happens, that balloon fills up with air. Air just gets bigger and bigger, and soon it's going to pop. And however it pops, you know, you might commit suicide, you might turn crazy, whatever. And, you know, like how Jesse was saying that people leak on each other. I mean, leak meaning that they're going to start to spill their anger on you. And one big part of Challenge Day was you need to release that anger, go out into the middle of the woods and like scream or something, just anything so that the balloon doesn't pop and you do something harmful.
And imagine how difficult it is for those who don't show any emotion, who try to hold everything in and just, like they were saying, just put on a smile and nobody will know, nobody will ask. And imagine how hard it is for them to keep that image day in and day out. And then when it appears in the news, oh, this person committed suicide, or that person killed a whole bunch of students in the school, then they say, oh, that guy was crazy. But they're not crazy, they're just they wanted to find a way to release what they kept up for years. And maybe committing suicide or just doing what they think or other people think is wrong is a better, an easier way for them, like a way out.
Once again, callers, the number is 456-9991.
Please call in. We'd like to hear your request.
So back to the crossing the line. One of the questions that the Challenge Day leader asked was, cross the line if you've ever been a child. And, you know, when you think about it for a second, you're like, oh, well, everybody's going to cross. Everybody's been a child once in their life. But what some people don't realize is that there's something behind that. Like, did you ever enjoy experiencing life when you were a child? Did you have to grow up too fast? And it was sad to see the people who didn't cross. And you were just going through your mind like, oh, well, you know, what made it so that they couldn't experience being a child? And you kind of take your youth for granted, like, oh, well, you know, everybody got to be happy once in their life when they were a child. They were worry-free or carefree or whatever, but it was just shocking to see when people didn't cross the line. You're thinking, you know, like, while I was outside playing, what did that kid go through?
And I'm going to comment on some of that. It's more harder to have a conversation because I didn't have a childhood, and I was one of the people that didn't cross the line. And it's very hard for me to listen, and like when I talk to my friends or people or hear just conversations randomly, and they say, oh, remember when we were little and we threw that ball and it broke that window? It's like, I don't have that, and I can't relate to anybody. And I was talking to one of my friends because she was saying, yeah, how she's lived here her whole entire life, and she has kids since kindergarten that she's known. And I've been moving around because I moved two times, and it's like I don't have a best friend since I've known when I was little. I don't have a place that I can call my own or anything. So I think it's more harder for people to realize that they weren't lucky to have something special, something that they can call dear to themselves.
Yeah, you know, Challenge Day, you're told that you're not alone, you're gonna get through this, you're gonna, you know, have people around you. So that was a lasting effect where people realize, you know, hopefully that they're not alone and people will be there for you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Teal,
Laura,
Yesenia,
Jenny.
And thank you to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are very important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio, and Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville Healthy Starts Program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in other communities. And for more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, and get a copy of the show and listen to many hours of previous programmings and streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. And our next show will be on the last Sunday of February, 22nd at 2 p.m. And thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next month.